1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Next Sunday we will study about the resurrection from chapter 15, but for today these two powerful verses and hopefully give some insight into the salvation which God has provided for us. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. I make known to you, brothers, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you have been standing, perfect tense verb, through which also you are being saved, passive voice, present tense. By which word I preach to you, if you hold firm, unless if not, you believed in vain. Very difficult text in the Greek there at the end, but that is the literal translation. The condition of their salvation, first of all, in verse 1, I want to present to you this morning. He lists these three things. First of all, the gospel which Paul preached, they received. It's the word received with the preposition para, meaning to receive alongside of, make it personal. They received alongside of themselves the gospel which Paul preached. It was not at a distance, it was personal. And they received what he had to say as the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth. Secondly, in this gospel that Paul preached, they have been standing. It is a condition that once they receive Jesus Christ and the truth through the gospel of Jesus Christ, they had now been standing this whole time. It is a continuous condition in which a believer is in. You are continually standing in the gospel and truth of Jesus Christ. You are never not standing. Thirdly, this gospel in which you are being saved. The Bible presents the fact that the salvation process starts the moment that you receive Christ, but that the salvation continues from that point on. We are in the process of being saved, and our salvation is being worked out in us. We are always saved. But salvation is a process that takes place in a person's heart and mind, starting at the point of receiving Christ. It doesn't end there. It starts there. This gospel which Paul preached, which you have received, in which you have been standing, and in which you are being saved. Very important. Those are the conditions of salvation. A person that is saved is going through those three things. They've received, they are standing, and they are being saved in the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this is all because of the process of salvation in verse 2. Paul says, the reason why I can say these three things about you is because you were evangelized and saved by the word which I preached to you. The means by which a person is saved is the word of God. I'm not talking about the Bible. Let's stretch our understanding a little bit here. Is it the Bible? And we've talked about translations. We've talked about the original languages. These are all pieces of paper with ink on them. All of them. Jesus Christ is called the Logos, the Word of God. When He returns in Revelation chapter 19 at His second coming, on His side will be marked the Word of God. And He will come on a white horse. Jesus Christ is the Word, the Logos. And Jesus also said everything that He says is the Logos, the Word of God. Now what is interesting about this, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, Peter says, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God which lives forever. The Word of God is like a seed. He, or the Word, comes to us and without vocabulary, without voice, ministers and speaks to our hearts and minds, and the heart responds. The Word of God is like a seed, and we're actually born from out of the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 21, James says, "Receive the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul." Implanted, be receptive to the Word of God Himself. As He comes to you, and through the written Word, He shows you and speaks to your heart. Don't be resisting Him. Paul says, "This gospel that I have preached unto you, it is by the Word which I have preached to you." And these three things, receiving the Word, standing, having been standing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you are being saved, you're in the process of being saved, is all based upon by the Word which He preached. If you hold firm. King James says, if you hold it in your memory. Other translations have really tried to get a hold of this one word. It's the Greek word katecho. And it literally means to hold down. Kata is down and echo is to have. To hold. To hold something down. To prevent something from leaving. Katecho is the characteristic of the Christian life. A person can believe the truth about Jesus Christ. A person can believe in Jesus Christ and never be born of the Spirit of God, never experience the spiritual birth that comes from out of responding to His Word. And a person can actually believe in vain. The reason why this study is so important this morning is because most people who call themselves Christians believe that they are Christians on the basis of their belief. James 2:19 tells us, if you believe in the one and the true God, you do well. But even the demons are believing and are trembling. Do you know that Satan believes in Jesus Christ? Why do you think the demons cried out in the temple when Jesus walked in and the demon inside the man cried out, "Thou Holy One of God, what do you have to do with us?" Because he recognized Jesus. The demons know Jesus. Satan knows God. Satan believes the truth about God. He just doesn't want to submit, even to his own destruction. Just believing the truth about Jesus Christ does not save you. Oh, but what about the text that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved? It doesn't say you are saved. It says you will be. Belief is that first step. If you are responding and persuaded that what the Scripture says about Jesus Christ is true, you can call upon Him to save you. Everyone who calls upon the Lord shall be saved. You call upon Him to save you, He will save you. But your belief in that ability and your belief in the process does not save you. A person must be born of the Spirit of God. When the Word of God Himself comes and enlightens a person's heart, and the characteristic that has happened to a person is all based upon the heart, the interaction of a person's heart and mind with God's Word. I don't know if you knew that or not. I'm not talking about memorizing the Bible or studying it as a school textbook. Many people have studied the Bible, outlined it, memorized it, and can quote it and can preach it, but don't know the Lord very well. We're talking about the living Word of God. Interacting with our hearts and minds and changing us and transforming us. When that process is going on, we are Christians. in the biblical sense of the presentation. And you might think, and because this actually comes to a person's mind in the earlier stages of after receiving the Lord, is that you don't really feel saved a lot of the time. You don't really feel like you're saved a lot of the time. So then I have a question for you. Even in the midst of depression and discouragement, even in times when you're looking at yourself through your own eyes and you doubt whether you're saved, is your heart and mind interacting with the Spirit of God, with His Word? Oh yeah. God's speaking to your heart. God's pulling us out of our doldrums. He's pulling us out of our depression, out of our discouragement. He's bringing the truth of the Word of God to our hearts and minds continuously. He humbles us, draws us to Himself. Jesus said in John chapter 15, I think it's about verse 4, Jesus said to the disciples, "You are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you." There's a tremendous process going on here. I don't know if you've ever heard of a litmus test. A litmus test. Litmus test, thank you. Because it basically is a chemical that's added to another substance, and it changes the color of that other substance to tell you what it is or what it has in it. They use it in the chemical labs a lot. The Word of God is that element, that tool that God uses. When God's Spirit takes the truth of God's Word and touches my heart, that is really who I am. We are not really who we are just in our natural, religious, church, Christian fellowship state. When God's Spirit takes God's Word and touches my heart, that is who I really am. My response to it, my receptivity to it, what God's Word does in my heart and mind, not what I do with it, but the power of God's Word changing me and transforming me. The litmus test is my response to, my interaction with, my relationship with the Lord through His Word. Many, many people profess to be Christians, but are not saved. Because Christianity in America is a religion. Many, many times I have been in a position where I was so excited to hear God's Word, only to find out I didn't want to hear it. God gave me the desire. God gave me the hunger to go hear the Word, only to hear the Word and not want it. I don't like that. God gives me the desire. He pulls me. He drags me if He has to. But His Word comes alive, Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting down through the joints and marrow, and is a judge and a critic of the motives and intentions of a person's heart. That's why it's so powerful. That's why people want to get away from it. That's why in the last days, very difficult to find a place where the Word of God is presented on a continual, consistent basis as the only food of God. People, and I'm telling you from experience, I have told people straight to their face, I love His Word, I love to hear His Word, I'm so happy to be here. And as soon as they opened up the Word, I didn't like what they had to say. That's who I really am. I can tell you I love the Lord, I can tell you I love His Word, and you can tell me. But when we get into His Word, what's the reaction? What's the response? That's where, as J. Vernon McGee used to say, that's where the rubber meets the road. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Beginning at verse 4. Remember that word kareko. Very important. Kareko is the characteristic of a person who has received Christ, who has been standing in Christ, and who is in the process of being saved. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And while a great crowd was gathering, and while those from the city were coming out to him, he spoke through a parable. The one sowing went out to sow his seed. Notice it's a participle. The one sowing went out to sow his seed. And in the process of him sowing, some fell along the road and was trampled down, and the birds of heaven devoured it. And other seed fell upon the rock, and after it sprouted, it withered because it had no moisture. And other seed fell in the midst of thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. Other seed fell upon a good ground, and after it grew, it produced fruit 100 times. While they saying these things, he cried out, saying, "The one who has ears to hear, let him hear." I'll give you a hint. He wasn't asking if everybody could hear him or not. He's talking about the hearing ear that is receptive to the things of Christ. Verse 9. Now his disciples were asking him, saying, "What should this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, in order that," quoting from Isaiah now, "seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Hard to explain and understand other than this fact. You and I cannot understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God unless God reveals them to us. Because God purposely blinds people who can see and purposely blocks the understanding of people who hear. I can't make anyone hear. I cannot make anyone understand. I do not have that ability. I can talk to you Greek and Bible and religion and Christianity till I'm blue in the face. It doesn't do any good. It takes the Spirit of God taking the truths of Christ and manifesting them to a person's heart. I can only share with you what God has manifested to me. I don't know if it's going to mean anything to you or not. I have no power over that. I know from Isaiah 55:11 that we're told that God's Spirit takes God's Word and takes it to accomplish the purpose for which He sent it, and it will not return void. It will always accomplish the purpose for which He sent it. It's out of my hands. I honestly don't know from Sunday to Sunday and from Monday to Monday what God's going to do. I have no idea. I don't know how He's going to minister or what He's going to minister pretty much to people's hearts. I know what He's ministered to mine. And the truths are like chunks of gold to the heart. But whether that works out now to be chunks of gold for people, I have no idea. But it is interesting, please take note that Jesus said, "I spoke in parables," because people hear the story about the parable of the sower, but they don't understand it. And Jesus isn't going to tell them the answer. Only for those who come to Jesus that are one of His disciples does He reveal the truths of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Verse 11. He says to them, the seed is the word of God. Someone once said, they were told in Bible school, never to teach about the parables until you've been in ministry for 30 years. Everybody seems to understand all the various things about all the symbols of the parables of Jesus. Because it takes you 30 years to get all of that Bible training out of your system so that you can see the text. Jesus gives the answers for what these things mean in order to understand His parables. The seed is the Word of God. And the seed which falls, which is along the roadside, are the ones who hear. Then comes the devil and removes the word from their heart. Now, you've come out here this morning. Just think of the roadway, and think right next to the roadway, it's part rock, part dirt. That's where your car pulls off of. Pretty hard place to be. That's been trampled down, Jesus said. That whole area has been trampled down. So if a farmer came by and were to sow seed there, scatter seed, that seed would just sit on top of the ground. Because the ground is so compacted that seed cannot penetrate the ground. It'll just sit there. And Jesus said, this is the person's heart who hears the word, that when he hears the word just sits there. It doesn't penetrate at all. And the devil comes and removes the word from his heart. In order that not after having believed, he should be saved. Removes it so that any influence or impact it has on a person's heart that they should be saved. And others upon the rock. This would be further out, not where your car pulls over. This is now further out between the roadway and the fence that separates the road from the farm field. Some fell upon the rock, and when they heard it, they received the word with joy, and these are those who have no root, and they believe for a time, and in the time of testing, they leave. So they get excited. Wow! Truths of the Word of God. We will see when we get through at the end of this text, how is God's Word, the seed, worked into a person's heart, the soil? It's through trials and testing. You got to turn it over. You got to get the weeds out so that the Word of God grows properly. The crop has to be pruned. It has to be harvested. All the things that the farmer goes through, we go through in our heart. They believe for a time, but when the time of testing or trials come, they leave. And there are some that fell in amongst the thorns. And these are the ones who hear. And by the merimnao, some of you understand this term to be the cares of this life. But under the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life they are going, and they are choked out and they do not bear maturity. So the Word of God still has a place in this person's life, but it never bears fruit. The fruit is salvation, folks. There's only one person in this whole parable that's saved. The last one. These people who went and actually experienced hearing the Word of God, but they heard it while being involved with the cares and the riches and the hedonistic pleasures of this life, and the Word of God and its influence was choked, and they did not bear fruit. They did not come to maturity. But then there are ones on the good ground that fell, who in a good and sincere heart, after having heard the word kareko, they held firm. They held it down. They were receptive. As soon as the seed hit the ground, the heart just enveloped it and took the seed in. That's not something a human being can do. That is a condition of the heart. After hearing the word, they hold it firm and they bear fruit in endurance. That's the cultivating of the soil, cultivating where the seed was planted, watering it, weeding the area so the word would grow properly. The characteristic of the person who has the good soil and the good heart is a person who, after having heard the word, they don't let it escape. It's part of them. God has energized them. The living Word of God comes to touch a person's heart and mind. It isn't the Bible. It's the living Word of God Himself that takes the truth from the Word of God and makes it alive to our hearts. That's what it's all about. But isn't it interesting, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, isn't it interesting that Paul would say that you are those who have received, you are those who have been standing, you are those who are being saved, if you are those who kareko, the word that I've spoken to you. Unless if not, you believed for nothing. He's saying, you might believe the things that I told you are true, but if kareko is not going on in your heart, then you've believed for nothing. It's the living Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, if you continue in my Word, you are my disciples. It's characteristic. Not you should continue if you are, but you will continue in my word if you're my disciples. John chapter 8, verse 37, Jesus said to those who opposed him, he says, you have come to kill me because my word has no part with you. Everything's based on the response and reaction to the word. John chapter 8, verse 43, why do you not understand my words, Jesus said? It's because you cannot hear my word. You can't be receptive. You don't understand. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my words. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's just something very special and very precious to a believer's life. As we struggle with English translations, Bibles, and if you're like me, you've got a whole stack of Bibles at home. What translation do you want to use? And the more translations I compare the original with, the more frustrated I get. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. He makes the truth of His Word alive to us through a tangible book, a tangible object, one that we can actually see and we're not deceived by some imaginations that we might have, even though that's what's going on. We have it in print. And God can take the truth of that Word. And I am not who I really am until I come face to face with God's Spirit through the truth of His Word to my heart. That is who I really am as a person. And a person can say, and we've shared this morning, a person says, I go to church, I believe in God, I'm a Christian, no problem. And begin to share some things they believe in, but then you can open the Word of God and say, well, pardon me, brother, pardon me, sister, but in God's Word, not the book of my church, but God's Word, says this about that. Oh, you will either see a surprised look and a realization of, you mean I have been wrong all this time, or you're going to get a reaction of, I don't believe that. That's not what we stand for. It's not what I believe. Coming face to face with the Word. We can even be in agreement and get along just fine with each other until we get into the Word. This is who we really are, right here. The truth of what it says versus our tradition. The truth of what it says versus our system. Somebody told me, when I first got out of Bible school, somebody told me, for every year that you spend in Bible school, it's going to take you 2 years for God to deliver you from it. So if you spend 4 years in Bible school, it's going to take you 8 years just to break even, for God to break you from this system of understanding and doctrine that you've learned. And for some people, for some Christians, it takes many more years than that. to come to realize, to take the tools of education that God gives to us and take those tools and begin to see what God's Word is saying, and then and for God's Spirit to open up our hearts to be receptive to what He's saying. I'll tell you this, the Word of God is hard. The truth is hard. It's hard on the flesh, it's hard on the heart, it's hard on the mind. It's powerful. It's truth. And I have a tough time with it. That's what makes me a Christian. My flesh has a tough time with it. But God's Word is exploding the truth. I'm glad when I'm wrong now. All those years I've been wrong. That means God's delivered me. It's a heart response to His Word. It's a heart response to the truth of His Word that is the characteristic of the believer who has been receptive, who has been standing, and who is being saved. Jesus said, it's all dependent whether you keep my words or not, He said. It all depends whether you can hear my word or not. If you can't hear my word, your heart's not open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Everybody can hear physically, but not everybody can hear spiritually. That is the characteristic of the believer. Born of the Word of God. Abiding in the Word of God. And the Word of God living and active. And that's the focal point of this ministry, is bringing the truth of God's Word. And the disheartenment of coming to realize that out of maybe 100 people that call themselves Christians, there is only a handful that really are responsive to the Word of God. There are certain kinds of church services. There are certain denominational churches that we like, or certain ways of worship, or certain programs. But it's a response to the Word of God. When God's Spirit's working on your heart, when God's Spirit's working in your life, He's going to give you a hunger and a desire for His Word, and His Word will become alive. It will change the innermost parts of the human life. Kadecho. Very important word. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again we come before You this morning with our hearts blessed, grateful, thankful hearts that You have made Your Word alive to us, that You have given us eyes to see what Your Word is saying at the appropriate time that You want to reveal to us. Many times we say, why me? Why us? Why do You allow certain ones to see and some not? You're the only one that knows the condition of people's hearts as to whether we want the truth or not. You know how to guide us in the way of truth. You know the amount of truth that we can handle in revealing that truth to us. We're so thankful that we're involved in a living relationship with Jesus Christ and His Word. Not a religion. Where Your Spirit and Your Word is constantly active in us, to us, and even through us to other people. This living relationship with Jesus Christ through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're so thankful. We just pray for Your continued faithfulness as we know You will be. Your mercy and compassion upon us. We pray that You'd continue to reveal more of Your truth, more of You through Your Word, to change us and transform us more and more as we're able to handle it. As our hearts are plowed up, as the fallow ground is plowed up, to be able to receive and be able to handle the truth that You show. Help us to endure the plowing process to remain under in times of trial, so that our lives will be prepared for the fruit that the crop will bring. Jesus said, "By their fruit you shall know them." That fruit is produced by God's Spirit through His Word. Thank you for this living relationship, both with you and your Word. We pray that you'd cause our hearts to be that good soil, to want and desire and hunger for the good things of the Lord through His Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.